Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithseanorourke.
And lots and lots of favourable comment about Brian O'Driscoll. Don't have a whole lot of time to bring it to you, but I want to say good morning now to Noreen Hegarty, Managing Destination Editor with Lonely Planet. You've just nominated Ireland for, I think it's place number 5 in the top 10. We haven't even been in the top 10 of world destinations up to now.
Good what morning, happened? Sean. No, we haven't. Well, it's well deserved on Ireland's part. Ireland is number 5 in the top countries that we recommend in Lonely Planet that people visit in 2015. And we have a list of cities and regions that we also recommend. You can't buy your way onto the list. You can't get sponsored onto it. You can't inveigle your way onto it any which way. Tourism boards have no part in this. We make this as an editorial recommendation based on the testimonies of our authors. We've got over 246 countries. We've got 20 editors based in London and Nashville, Tennessee. We've got lots of people in Lonely Planet who love to travel and travel themselves on a continuous basis, and they reckon that Ireland is a fantastic destination to go to.
Yes, but to not be on the list and then to come in at, I think it's number 5, something has to have happened between the last book being produced, the 2014 edition, and now the 2015 one.
Well, I think the Wild Atlantic Way has happened in the interim, and I think that's a massive hook to bring people in. We're likening it to, the Pacific Highway, to the Garden Route in South Africa. It's an iconic drive.
It's
2,500 kilometres. And I think from our point of view as well, the fact that communities are involved in it, the fact that it's tourism that involves everybody, it's, the local baker, it's the local hotel, it's the local taxi man, it's the community that people want to experience. And I think it's also fair to say that the response we've got is that the Cead Míle Fáilte in Ireland is as strong as it ever was. And I think as an Irish person, I'm guilty of this as well. We kind of don't recognise that natural wit and charm and bit of banter that we have that people from other places absolutely love.
Is it going to make much of a difference, do you think, to Irish tourism to get this kind of acknowledgement?
We don't get into it, Lonely Planet, we don't get into what the financial repercussions would be because that's not our job. We do get feedback, and from the other destinations that have been in the top 10 over the last 10 years, they have noticed an increase in travel. You've got to remember, Sean, there are hundreds of millions of eyeballs around the world on this. We had a global launch, simultaneous in the Southern Hemisphere, in North America and in Europe. So, the attention on it is massive. If you look today, you do a Google search, it's in every newspaper all over the globe. It's in all the websites, and radio and TV are interested in covering it. So, yes, it's absolutely good news for Ireland.
And tell me about the other countries. First of all, who's ahead of it?
Who's ahead of us? Singapore is the number one destination. And, of course, Singapore is celebrating 50 years of independence this year from Malaysia. It's a destination that perhaps in the past had an impression of being somewhat sterile and very organised and perhaps not too interesting. We think it's a really great place to go to now. It's had a foodie revolution. It's hosting the Pan-Asian Games in 2015, so good reasons to be there. Namibia is number 2 on the list, and Namibia, again, 25 years of independence in 2015. Massive on conservation and ecotourism. About 1 in 8 of the population are involved in tourism. It's the only country in the world that has conservation written into its constitution. And about 18% of the land is reserved for conservation, so we think that's really important. They've also found oil offshore, so it could be a big boom for Namibia in the years to come. Lithuania, the first of the Soviet republics to break free back 20 years ago, 25 years ago at this point almost, and also I think in light of Crimea and the fact that that's somewhat off limits to the West, it's interesting that Lithuania, great place, 3 million people joining the EU on the 1st of January 2015, so lots of change going to come about there, and lots of good reasons to go there. Nicaragua, which has a bit of a bullet-ridden past, but is one of the poorest of the Latin American countries, but again, undiscovered. Backpackers are going there. There are 2 5-star hotels in there now, and it is going to be somewhere to watch and somewhere that's going to develop in the coming
and
years.
And have all of those countries been in there in previous lists? Or is this something that fluctuates greatly?
This is something that fluctuates greatly. What we're doing is identifying the countries that have a reason to go there in a particular year. We've never actually had a country that's appeared twice in the top 10 list.
So we might be glad of being in there this year, but we can make no assumptions about next year other than perhaps that we won't be there at all.
Well, there's no reason why or why not. It really depends on what the feedback is, and as I say, it's quite a rigorous process that we have. We whittle down the list. There's a lot of debate, a lot of argument about it, and there's no reason why Ireland would or wouldn't be there, but I think if we can continue doing what we're doing, it can only be a good thing for the country.
And looking at number 7, Noreen, Serbia. The best kept secret in Europe. Tell us more.
Well, Serbia is a country that would have been, I suppose, a pariah of Europe a very short time ago. We're saying they're a very passionate people. The food is great. They have an exit concert every July that began as an anti-Slobodan Milosevic concert that has been voted the best in Europe. Very lively population, lots of good reasons to go. And the other thing to remember is some of these destinations have budget airlines going into them now, so they're more accessible than they ever were before.
And then you have some other lists, like I think you have best places in the world for extreme eating. Now, what exactly would extreme eating be, apart from the kind of thing you get up to?
Well, this is something that our Irish...
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Well, it is something like that. It's something that our Irish author, Fionn Davenport, who did the Irish Review, didn't have to deal with in Ireland. He got really good food. But we're looking at things like Rocky Mountain oysters. You don't associate seafood with Rocky Mountain, Colorado. But this is a delicacy that is available every year when they castrate the young bulls. And essentially, they are the testicles of the young bulls, deep fried. Somewhat of a delicacy. There's even a testicle festival, or test fest, as they call it, in Montana every July.
I'll take your word for it, and I won't be heading off in that direction. And so there's
chapulines in Mexico.
Lots there for people to chew over, so to speak, in this book. And have you anywhere that's slightly less extreme than that place then, to finish?
But for that kind of food, you know, look, I think the destinations that are there, we're looking at best value as well. Tunisia, South Africa, and Samoa appear on that list. There's lots to delve into in the book. It's all online on lonelyplanet.com. And I hope people find it interesting, and I also hope they find some inspiration in it.
Noreen, thank you very much indeed for coming to studio. Noreen Hegarty there, Managing Destination Editor with Lonely Planet. More music after these.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.